Tonight's edition of Mysterious Radio is brought to you by Best Fiends.
Statements and opinions by guests of Mysterious Radio are not to be considered as endorsed by sponsors or affiliated networks. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this podcast without the express written consent of Mysterious Radio is strictly prohibited.
Get ready for a night filled with conspiracies, strange places, the paranormal, UFOs, legends, and myths from around the world. With your hosts, K-Town, on Mysterious Radio.
All right, thank you for joining me for another edition of Mysterious Radio. I'm your host, K-Town. I want to welcome my first-time listeners and those returning. Before we get into tonight's edition, I want to give some quick shout-outs. I have to do this because you are following suit in trying to help us reach our goal of 5,000 five-star ratings and reviews. And for that, we're going to release 10 shows at one time for you to binge on. Really good shows. So please take a moment to leave us a five-star rating and review. If you haven't yet, we would greatly, greatly appreciate that. If you're an Android user, of course, you can't do that, but you can visit our Facebook and leave a great recommendation for us there. Okay, now for shout outs, let me get to them here real quick. SmartGun13 says, outstanding podcast. The host, the topics, and the production are among the best that I have experienced. K-Town's voice is warm and engaging, and she asked the questions that I am thinking. Very, very nice review. Thank you for that. And one more, we have Poppy Jeff Castillo. I hope I'm saying that right. Says, I recommend this podcast. As stated above, I found the show while searching Flat Earth and I haven't stopped listening. Since then, there was also a wide range of topics. And thank you for your compliment about my voice again. I really appreciate that. Okay, so if you want to get a shout out, all you have to do is leave us a five-star rating and review, and I can give you one. Or if you don't want to do that, just at least hit the five-star rating and help us achieve our goal. All right, so we're going to get into tonight's edition, which is a subject that you might want to really pay attention to if you've had these types of dreams. The name of the book is called Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Now, this book is an exploration of dreams as a spiritual source of healing and inner guidance for your health and well-being. It was also the winner of the 2018 Nautilus Silver Award. You're going to read about stories that were shared and confirmed by pathology reports from subjects in medical research projects whose dreams diagnosed illnesses and helped heal these patients' lives. Also, it explores medical studies and ongoing research on the diagnostic power of precognitive dreams, including Dr. Burke's On Medical Research. I do suggest you pick this up if you're interested in dreams and also you want to find out more about how this can possibly help you. This book can give you great guidance on how to interpret those dreams and also give you an introduction into dream journaling as well. Okay. All right, we're going to get started. Here's my special guest, Dr. Burke and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, here to talk about dreams that can save your life. All right, we have two special guests tonight to discuss their book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life. With me, I have Dr. Larry Burke and dream work expert Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. And this book is available on Amazon.com and other fine book retailers. I want to thank both of you for joining me tonight on Mysterious Radio.
Great to be here.
Great. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Now, before we get started, if the both of you don't mind to take a moment to tell us a little bit about yourself and how the inspiration behind this interesting connection between dreams and warning signs about your health came about.
Well, it started with a dream, and I was going for my yearly checkups, which included a mammogram, blood test, physical exam, and my doctors told me I was healthy to go home, and I started having these nightmares, and in these nightmares, I would be having my regular dream, and all of a sudden, my dream would freeze, just like your page on your computer might freeze, and then I'd get a pop-up, just like on your computer, and that pop-up would window would turn into a door, and a Franciscan monk would step through that door from another dimension, basically. And he would say, come with me, we have something to tell you. And this monk would be dressed in a brown robe with a rope belt and leather sandals. And I would step through that window that had become a door into an area that was a room between realms. It wasn't a realm of the dead, but it wasn't a realm of the living either. And while I was in that area, the monk told me that I had breast cancer. And he actually took my hand and put it on my breast and said, can you feel that? And I said, yes. He said, well, that's breast cancer. You go back to your doctor and tell him that you need a different test, that something's wrong. So this happened over a three-month period, and I would have these dreams constantly. And finally, the third time, after I'd gone back to the doctor three times, had three mammograms, three blood tests, three physicals, when I saw the monk step into my dream, I started crying. And I said, you know, I've gone back to my doctors, and I've asked them for different tests, and they're still giving me the same tests. If I really have breast cancer and you want me to live, then do something to help me, because I can't do it on my own. And so the monk reached into his sleeve, and he pulled out this tiny little white feather, and he handed me the feather in the dream and said, if you go back to your doctor tomorrow without an appointment and tell him you need exploratory surgery to find this breast cancer, you're going to get the test you need, and it'll be found. So the next day, I did exactly what the monk told me, and I had to convince my doctor to do exploratory surgery, which, believe me, wasn't easy, but it's in the book. And long story short, I was in stage 2 aggressive breast cancer with it in my lymph nodes. And then I heard about Dr. Larry Burke from a mutual friend when he was presenting, I think, at IASD, which is the International Association for the Study of Dreams. And we talked on the phone, and then we connected, and one thing led to another, and now we have this book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, and it has 42 other stories of people who had dreams that diagnosed their illness that was then validated by pathology reports.
I want to know if you have a history of breast cancer in your family.
No, I don't.
That's very strange. That might be one reason why, if someone were to have this type of dream and they don't have the history, they may not take it seriously, and we can talk about that later. All right, so let's talk about dreams. Most people, I think, just blow them off. I know I do, as meaningless, and they really don't know what they are and never take the time to find out. So can one of you tell us, first of all, why do we dream anyway?
Well, I'll jump in and say that I've been keeping a dream diary for over 30 years, and have found it to be quite valuable in getting access to subconscious information that I wouldn't ordinarily be aware of. And what I find is that as a left brain type scientific person, I was involved in the early days of developing MRI scans of the knee and shoulder way back in the 80s. That's when I started keeping my dream diary. I'm not like Kat, and Kat tends to be intuitive when she's awake as well as when she's asleep. I don't really consider myself, to have visions when I'm awake or other major intuitive insights. But when I go to sleep and my left brain goes offline, my right brain can come out and play. And I think that's true of a lot of people who think linearly during the day. They'll think in a more intuitive fashion at night when their left brain filter shuts down. And so I think it's a great way of getting access to intuition probably the easiest way for real left-brain people to access it. So I eventually started describing myself as a holistic radiologist because I got interested in hypnosis to help patients who were claustrophobic in the MRI scanner. And that was sort of my intro into alternative medicine and then into integrative medicine, where I started the Integrated Medicine Center at Duke. I was one of the co-founders. And then I practiced hypnosis and acupuncture at Duke and wasn't really planning on becoming a dream researcher, but when two of my best friends in 2004 and then later in 2012 told me about dreams they'd had of their breast cancer, it really shocked me because I'd never heard of it before. And at least not for the breast. I'd heard about it once was from another friend who told me about it in 1999 about dreaming her cancer of the tongue. And she's in the book as well. But the breast cancer caught me by surprise because I was trained in mammography and knew some of the ins and outs of that, although I practice musculoskeletal radiology, not breast radiology. So when these two friends told me they had dreams about cancer and they went in to get a mammogram, and the mammogram was read as normal by the radiologist, and the radiologist came out to reassure them, and neither one of them were reassured. They were both convinced they had breast cancer. The one wouldn't leave until she got an ultrasound. The radiologist initially refused and finally relented and did the ultrasound and sure enough found the cancer, much to the radiologist's shock. And then the other one, mammogram was normal, and again, both these women did not have any symptoms. And then the other one was actually a doctor herself, and she said she didn't feel relieved after hearing the mammogram was normal and said, let's look at it together. And she said, because I know where the cancer should be. And she used the dream to look again at the mammogram, and they found a small cancer that had been overlooked. So both of those got me started down this path. And then the third friend had a vivid dream also. And then her breast cancer dream was denied by the doctor. He just said, well, that's just nothing but normal breast tissue. Did not get a mammogram, and she wound up dying of breast cancer a couple years later. So those three got me started down the research rabbit hole.
Okay. So, Dr. Burke, go ahead and continue. Just pick up from there and tell us, why do we dream?
I think I'll defer that one back to Kat.
Well, I think dreaming is a way for us to connect with our inner guidance. I don't think that we are just dropped off here in the earth plane to go through life all by ourselves. I think we're connected to the realm, the same place that we came from before we were born. I think we connect with that realm through the sacred dream doors. And we get information from deceased loved ones, from spirit guides, guardian angels. I believe we're all born with guardian angels and spirit guides. We're their job, and they take that job very seriously. And we have a life purpose when we come down here onto the earth plane. You know, even if our parents tell us that we just happened in the backseat of that Ford, we were not an accident. If anything, we were accidentally on purpose. And so through dreaming, we can make sure that we stay on the right path. We can get information from our tribe on the other side, and that can keep us healthy, wealthy, and happy.
Are there any historical references to cultures in the past that really relied on dream interpretation?
I'll jump back in on that one. The Aboriginal cultures have been doing it for tens of thousands of years. In Australia, they refer to, real life is just part of the dream time. And then in the shamanic traditions around the world, they've been using dreams as a very important part of their healing and diagnostic process. And then, of course, when you go back to the ancient Greeks, there were the Asclepian temples where people would make a pilgrimage to the temple, sleep overnight, in hopes of having a dream that would guide them, and then the priest would help them interpret them the next day. So, unfortunately, only in the last 100 years have we really lost our connection to the dream world in a big way as the technology became more prominent. And even with Jung and Freud's influence, it still is not playing a significant role in modern medicine, even though the symbol of modern medicine is still the rod of Asclepius with a single snake around it. So that's a bit of a paradox for sure.
All right, it's time to take a break and engage in something fun and challenging, because some of the subject matter can be pretty heavy. That's why I've chosen to play Best Fiends. I'm on level 85 now, and I will get to 100. With awesome characters, bright colors, and top-notch graphics, you cannot go wrong with this game. There's not another game out there like this. Plus, it requires no internet, so we know how games can be data hogs. This one you don't have to worry about. You can play it, you're out there on the lake, or you're taking a trip, you're on a plane where your internet is required to be shut off for a period of time. You don't have to worry about it. You can play this literally anywhere. They keep the game fresh by updating it monthly with new levels and events. I've gotten where I play this game all the time because I have to win. So if I start something, I'm the type of person where I have to win the game or I'm not going to be happy. But what a fun way to pass the time. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters too. This is a 5-star rated puzzle game with over 100 million downloads globally. Download free on Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R, Best Fiends. Get the game now, and it's called Friends without the R, Best Fiends. We hear about this type of dreaming a lot, and I'm wondering how lucid dreaming plays a part in these cases.
I'll let Kat take that one.
Well, you know, lucid dreaming is where you're aware you're dreaming when you're dreaming. And sometimes not everybody does that automatically. I just happen to be a very lucid dreamer. And sometimes when I have trouble getting to sleep at night, all of a sudden I'll fall asleep and I'll go, oh, thank goodness, I'm finally dreaming. So sometimes people can realize they're lucid dreaming that way as well. They'll go, oh, finally, I'm dreaming. But with the lucid dream, when you know you're dreaming, you can do a number of things with it. For one thing, if it's something that's recurring and bothering you, maybe in a relationship that you had with your parents or something, you can change the ending of that dream and change your emotional outlook on possibly relationships, not just with your parents, but maybe in your marriage. And with lucid dreaming, in my case, I was able to bring the information back with me that I had through my spirit guides in order to make sure that I was taking the right treatments, eating the right foods, because they actually gave me information on foods to eat. For instance, they said, don't eat butter, eat ghee. And I was like, well, what is ghee? So you've kind of got to be lucid in the dream to bring back that type of information. And the longer you dream and the more often you dream and the more often you write your dreams down, I think the quicker you can get to lucid dreaming, because it becomes rather natural. And through that lucid dreaming, you can really start to control the outcome of your dreams. So did that kind of answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much for that. Now, speaking of these dreams, have you found something common, like some common things that these people dream about that warn them of their cancer?
Yeah. In the research, we found out that the most common characteristic of these kinds of warning dreams is that the dreams are the most important dreams people have ever had in their life. They're just so compelling that they feel like they need to take some action about them. Then the second would be that they were more vivid or more real than any dream they've ever had in their life. Then there could be also a feeling of physical contact with the breast, either their hand in the dream or a guide in the dream. And then there was also a sense of dread or threat in the dream. And sometimes even the words breast cancer or cancer tumor were used in the dream specifically. And then in some instances there were guides that either were angels or white-coated doctors or deceased relatives, or on a rare occasion, Franciscan monks. So So those are the typical experiences reported by the dreamers in my study.
All right. Kathleen, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that, you know, Dr. Larry Burke hit it right on the head. For one thing, these dreams are not dreams that you can ignore. Not only do you have them at night and you remember them in detail and bring it back, or you hear a voice, which is called the cocktail effect. For instance, if you go to a party and you, let's say, Kim, you're sitting in a chair all the way across the room, and somebody calls your name or says Kim in a conversation, it's like your ear grows and goes across the floor, and it just picks that up. So in these dreams where they would hear a voice that would talk to them, the voice would be so clear, despite everything else that was going on in the dream, that you could bring that back. So these dreams were dreams that you couldn't forget. You couldn't leave them behind. You would have synchronicities during the day that would remind you of the dream. You would have things like one woman who had colon cancer and was having dreams of feces everywhere. During the day, she'd be in a boardroom talking to executives, and suddenly she'd flash on feces being all over the boardroom and all over the table, and then she'd blink her eyes and open them, and it would all be clear. So it's not like you can ignore these dreams or forget these dreams. They nag you until you act. They are a call to action.
I want to know, were these dreams generally pleasant in nature, or did most of them describe them as nightmares and such?
Yeah, I think this falls into usually the nightmare category because it's usually information that you don't want to know about. And you may, but it's presented by the dream world in a very dramatic fashion to get your attention. One of the women that I referred to earlier had a dream about a serial killer at the beginning of the night, where she would felt like she needed to get up and check her locks to make sure that everything was okay. And then the next dream she had was about breast cancer. So if you have those back to back, you're going to want to go get a mammogram.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. My special guests tonight are Dr. Larry Burke and Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis, and we are discussing their book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life. And I will have more for you when we return right after this. We are back, and now let's talk about more of these detections or ways that people can detect, or the types. I'll say this. I know that this is centered around breast cancer, but have dreams been used to detect cancers in other parts of the body, or used to detect other illnesses?
Once my breast cancer dreams research was published, then I gave a TEDx talk and started getting more attention, and people started sending me and also Kat stories about other types of cancer. And one of my high school classmates, who I didn't know that well but was good friends with my brother, she just said, "Oh, I had a dream 13 years ago that I was passing blood in the toilet every night." And it really scared her, so she went to get a colonoscopy, and sure enough, they found a pea-sized colon cancer that was actually pretty aggressive, that already spread to the lymph nodes. And you know, if she'd have waited until there actually was blood in the toilet, it might have been too late, because it had already spread to the lymph nodes. And if she'd have waited, you know, another couple months or years, it might have gone to her liver and beyond. So, yeah, that was definitely a life-saving dream that got my attention for sure.
A life-saving dream? Well, besides the monks, when I had recurrence, because I'm a three-time breast cancer survivor, in that dream, the monks came in and they showed me exactly where to show the doctor, where to look on the mammography that was in his office and backlit because he was telling me I was healthy and to go home. And so it actually took an MRI to find that I was in stage four, and they were still missing it using the medical tests. And this stage four was validated by pathology reports. And that's one of the things that makes this book, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, early warning signs of cancer and other diseases. That's what makes it so special. These dreams were often early warning signs that were then validated by the medical community that denied him in the first place. So it's kind of a, you know, that's one of the things that makes it really interesting. First, the doctors say, no, 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 you don't have any of that. But then when you really self-advocate to the point of being a pain in the butt, and they do the tests that you've been told to have in your dreams, and it's validated by a pathology report, it really, you know, takes everybody back a step while they're scratching their heads.
Okay, so I want to know if this is the first time that you've had a dream that's been so significant to you. I mean, is this the first time this has ever happened to you concerning, you know, I know it's happened with your illness, but has it happened at any other time?
No, that was it.
Let's get into some more of these cases. I saw one in your book, and I hope you remember this. If you don't, it's fine. It's a case involving a mother and daughter. And I know it's breast cancer, but I think the daughter even had the dream about the mother, or can you tell us about that? I can't remember exactly what it was.
I'll let you take that one, Larry, because there's two different stories in the book, actually, mother-daughter teams. So I'm not quite sure which one you're talking about, but I'll let Larry take a stab at that.
I think you're referring to the one where it was the mother was having dreams about bleeding. Her breasts were bleeding.
Yes, that's it.
Her daughter was having the same types of dreams simultaneously, and both of them were having these dreams a couple months before the breast cancer was finally detected. So it was. It just shows that some people, you know, have dreams about themselves. Some people have dreams about others. And some people actually do both. As Kat mentioned, the other mother-daughter team was a woman who had a dream about her mother having cervical cancer and given the message that she was going to die in 3 months. And in the same dream, she had a dream about herself saying she's got breast cancer. So she got, and then when it turned out that her mother was diagnosed with the cervical cancer and died 6 months later, she thought, well, if that dream was right about my mother's cancer, I better pay attention to the one about my own cancer. So she had mammograms for the next 5 years, and they never found anything until they finally did an ultrasound and found the cancer. So that woman was having dreams about her mother and about herself. They were both accurate.
Okay, so have you found many cases where people were having dreams about someone else's illnesses?
Well, I started out doing that myself 30 years ago. That's how I got into this. I had a dream about my dad, and I didn't really know it was about my dad because it was a dream about myself that I had a brain tumor. And everyone was shocked when the CAT scan showed I had a tumor because I looked so healthy. And I just had dinner with my dad on Thanksgiving, hadn't seen him in a few months. And then a week later, I got a phone call that he had a kidney cancer diagnosed on a CAT scan. Everyone was shocked because he looked so healthy. And I have the same name as my dad. I'm a junior. And both of the CAT scan images were on the same left side. The kidney has some characteristics similar to the brain, has a cortex and a medulla. And everyone was shocked because in the dream, I was totally healthy. And in real life, my dad was totally healthy. So it's important if you have a dream about a health-related problem to ask two questions. One is it a dream about me or someone else? And then second question is it about a real physical illness or is it about a symbolic a metaphor for some emotional issue going on in my life? And sometimes you can't tell until you ask for a clarifying dream, which would be go back the next night, say, was that dream telling me to go get a medical checkup, or was that about some emotional issue I need to deal with? And then you'll sometimes get the answer.
What can you give us some things people can do specifically to help them recall their dreams?
Sure. One of the easiest things to do is to just think of the acronym SODREAM. Take the first letters, take all the letters, and just we're going to turn them into a way to remember your dream. So the S for SO, you're going to set your intention, which is what Larry was just talking about. Set your intention before you go to bed or the next night. You want to get some additional information about a previous dream you had in order to understand it better. So you set your intention. And then O is organize yourself before you go to sleep. And it's really important because it's just too difficult to try and remember the dream when you wake up in the morning and run around looking for a pencil and paper. So have it all ready beside your bed, whether you're going to use your cell phone to record it if you're by yourself, or you're going to write in your dream journal. Whatever you're going to do, have it set before you go to bed. Organize yourself. And then D, just dream. You know, in order to begin the process of fulfilling your intention, you've got to dream. So you're going to tell yourself as you set your intention to remember your dream. E, that's for emotion, and it refers to those little parts of the dreams, those little snippets that elicit emotion, because that's the part of your dream that usually contains the most information, like, you know, seeing a monk walk through a door when my dream stops. That elicits some emotion on my part. I'm not going to forget it real easy. So you want to write those little snippets down, even if it's only if you can't remember anything else. What did you feel? What were you feeling? Write that down as soon as you get up. And then you're going to add to that. That's the A. You're going to add colors. Did you see colors? Did you hear sounds? Did you hear voices? Did someone call your name, words, people, animals, signs or symbols? Write any of that down. Don't worry about filling it into the whole dream. You'll get to that later. And then M, meaning, what do those signs, symbols, emotions mean to you? Because remember, nobody can dream your dream or understand it completely like you can. And so then you put all of this information together and you start putting your dream together, and make sure you give your dream a title, because if during the day when you're walking around and you suddenly start daydreaming, you may go back to that dream. And if you collect information from that daydream, you'll know where to go into your dream journal to add it in.
Okay. Dr. Burke, do you have anything to add to that?
That's pretty effective approach to it. I also mentioned that you can look at the dream from as many different perspectives as possible. And the funny thing about the dream world is all of them could be true. You could have a dream that's got leftover stuff from the day before. That often happens at the earliest dreams in the night. And then the deeper you go into the night, the more you get into the deep emotional subconscious dreams. And then to look at it from a Jungian point of view, from the Freudian point of view, from the psychodrama point of view, where every character in the dream is some facet of yourself, to the social context that the dream is in, to any sort of symbols that you have, animals that are in the dream. One of my favorite things is puns or jokes that are in the dream, or play on words, and check for any anomalies as you scan through the dream. What's the strangest thing in the dream that stands out, that like it doesn't belong there? That's like a red flag that that's something you should pay attention to. If it's a word you don't understand, get out of the thesaurus or dictionary, look it up, find out what it means, what the context is. And finally, you're also looking for shadow characters. Any dark characters in the dream are often a part of yourself that's being expressed in the dream that's ordinarily repressed. Any sort of violent characters, or that's a shadow character. And then the last thing to ask is it, there any aspect of the dream that's going to be precognitive, that you won't know about what its meaning is until maybe days or weeks later, and when it shows up as sort of a deja vu type experience. So, wait a minute, I dreamed about that. So those are all the different ways of looking at dreams, and they can all be valid all at the same time.
Are there any cases involving children?
Kat has some stories about that.
One of the stories in the book is about, it came from a doctor friend of ours, Dr. Kathy Kemper, and she's a pediatrician. She's known as the modern day Dr. Spock. And when she used to do her residency, she dealt with young children who had leukemia. And she would have to go and do her rounds really early in the morning, which most children don't want to be awakened that early in the morning, especially when they're not feeling well. But she walked into this one little girl's room who had leukemia and was there to draw blood. So usually they're hiding under the bed or something else. They don't want any part of that. But this little girl was sitting up in bed. She was all happy. And Kathy Kemper looked at her and said, "Well, you look very happy today." And the little girl said, "I am, because I know that my blood cells," I mean, they learn vocabulary really quick when they're in the hospital, "my blood cells have recovered and I'm ready for my next treatment." And Kathy Kemper said, "Well, how do you know that?" And she said, "Because I had a dream, and in the dream, the mercury in the thermometer was going up, up, up." Well, you know, Kim, most people would go, "Well, that usually means you got a fever," which would send most doctors screaming out of the room looking for antibiotics, because you don't want that to happen with a child who's undergoing treatment for leukemia. But this little girl knew her dream vocabulary. She knew what the dream was telling her. And she said, "This means that my blood cell counts are going up, 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 and I'm going to be ready for my next test." So Kathy Kemper took the blood test, sent it off to the lab, and the little girl was right. Her blood cells had recovered remarkably, and she was ready for her next round of chemotherapy so that she could get out of the hospital sooner.
Oh, that's awesome. That is a great... Go ahead, doctor. I'm sorry.
I'll also mention that Bernie Siegel, who wrote the foreword to a book, a famous pediatric surgeon, also wrote a whole chapter on children's dreams. And he actually mentions one of his own children had a dream about having a problem in his leg. He'd been having pain in the leg. And he said after a dream, one night he said, "Dad, I need an x-ray." And he didn't ask for, like, a pain pill or something, or you know, anything a young kid would ordinarily ask for. He knew he needed an x-ray. So his dad took an x-ray and sure enough found a benign bone tumor. And the kid had figured it out in the dream world and presented it to his dad, you know, the famous surgeon. Is like, "I need an x-ray, Dad. Why didn't you think of this?" You know.
Now, how do you suggest people convince their doctors? Because that seems like a huge obstacle. How do they do that, you know, to take their dreams seriously enough to perform more tests?
Well, that's one of the reasons I wrote the paper, that you now have something you can take to your doctor and say, "Look, there's at least something in the scientific literature that'll give you, some place to start." I mean, more research is needed. I'm doing some more research now at Duke and hope to have more evidence that it works. But Kat also has some other ideas about how you get your doctor to pay attention.
You just, you know, Kim, you just really, really self-advocate. You don't take no for an answer. You don't allow yourself to be dismissed. And you are that squeaky wheel until you get the oil or, you know, the time from the doctors that you need or the tests that you know you need from your dreams. And that's one of the things that I recognize with all of the amazing stories in this book, and something that that both Larry and I mentioned in the end of every chapter, where he did his commentary and I did my bit of dream interpretation as if it were my dream, that these people self-advocated, and as long as they self-advocated and refused to be dismissed, then eventually the doctors gave up and treated them, and that's really important.
Dr. Burke, have you seen a have you seen anything or gotten any feedback from the medical community that they are taking this study more seriously?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of them are not even aware that it's a thing. You know, so part of just doing this book and the talk is to get people talking about it. And, you know, occasionally you'll encounter some holistic doctors who are tuned into this. But it's certainly not commonplace these days. And there are some doctors who are really open-minded. Wanda Birch is one of the ladies in our study who's couldn't find her cancer with the mammogram or with the ultrasound. It was before the days of MRI, and you couldn't feel anything, but she was kept having these persistent dreams, so she finally found a doctor who acknowledged that her dreams were very compelling and was willing to handed her a magic marker and said, put a mark on your breast where you think the dream tells you the cancer is. And he just took a biopsy needle out and put it right through the dot and hit the cancer. So that requires a pretty courageous surgeon to do that. I was impressed by that story. There are doctors out there who are open-minded. You might have to shop around for them, but they're out there.
All right. Now, before we go, please tell my listeners where they can find more information about you and your research.
So LarryBurke.com or LarryBurkeMD.com is my website that has my TEDx talk on. It has links to the Huffington Post blog that I wrote that has a link to the original research paper in it. I will mention that the TEDx talk got censored by the TED people as not being scientific enough. So there is certainly a skeptical potential backlash out there. In order to watch the TED Talk, you have to click on the little X in the upper right corner of the red banner that's blocking the images in order to be able to see the video. And the only place you can find it is on my website, but it's been taken down off the TED YouTube channel. So, yeah, that's LarryBurke.com. It's B-U-R-K with no E.
All right, Kathleen, are you working with people as far as dream interpretation is concerned?
Yes, actually, Dr. Larry Burke and I are getting ready to do a second book. So I have a couple of instructions for your listeners if they're up for it. First of all, if they have a dream that diagnosed an illness or a condition, please write to us. You can write to me at catcan@comcast.net, send me your dream and put dream story in the subject line. And for all your listeners today, Dr. Larry Burke and I are offering them a free gift with purchase. When they go out and buy the book, keep your receipt number. You can go to my website, you can go to Larry's website, put the receipt number in and get a free gift. And mine is a video of a Dream 101 course, and my website is KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. So I hope you'll go and start your dream journey with my video Dream 101 course. And Larry, what was your course? What are you giving away to our audience today?
Yeah, on my website, there is a place to put your email in for my newsletter, and then you automatically get a free gift, which is the top 10 mind-body-spirit healing, self-healing techniques from my first book, which was called Let Magic Happen, Adventures in Healing with a Holistic Radiologist. And there's little video, 5-minute videos for each one of the 10 techniques teaching you how to do it. And also, just to remind people, we have a Facebook page with Dreams That Can Save Your Life on Facebook. And if you like that, you can stay in touch with what we're doing. And also, if you have a dream you wanted to share, you can send a message to us through that as well.
Kathleen and Larry, many blessings to you, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. And tell people to explore the mysteries of their dream on Mysterious Radio here.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition. I want to thank my special guests, Dr. Burke and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, for joining me tonight. Pick up the book. I mean, it's really interesting. If you've had dreams similar to this and you ignored it, or maybe you had concerns that you should have paid more attention to it, you really want to get this book. It can give you some guidance on how to interpret those dreams, because they really seem to be saving lives, and I wouldn't suggest ignoring it, really. And the stories in the book are simply amazing. You will really enjoy this. This is a great read. It's called Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. If you have audiobook, you can get it completely free. You can get it on Kindle. It's $11.99, I do believe. And it's also available on paperback, okay? Please go over and like Alien Expo if you haven't for me yet and share it. It is very important that we keep that going. You know, if you don't know already, really, now is the time to pay attention to it, because it's in mainstream media for a reason, and we all need to be paying attention to it. So if you're going to be coming to Knoxville, because you are a Patreon supporter, I will give you a discount. So say, hey, K-Town, I'm a member of Patreon. Can you give me a discount to come into town to see and enjoy the exclusive lecture series that we have going on at the UT Conference Center in downtown Knoxville? All right. I want to thank my producer tonight, Kim, and the Mysterious Radio team. I am your host, K-Town. I want you to have a great night, and I will see you next time on Mysterious Radio.
Like the show? Get more Mysterious Radio on our website. And don't forget to visit our Twitter and Facebook page.